Welcome to Texoga Talks, where energy meets insight. The purpose of this podcast is to provide you with a candid conversation about our energy needs, our energy security, and your energy future. Texas Oil and Natural Gas have made our nation the world's energy leader, constantly innovating and investing to fuel the economy, protect the environment, and power the world. This industry is fast-paced, high-tech, and essential to improving modern life. And we're here to talk about it. You're listening to Texoga Talks, where energy meets insight. Thanks so much for joining us again today for another episode of Texoga Talks. Our goal is to have a candid conversation about how important oil and natural gas is to fueling modern life. I'm glad to be joined again today by Shana Joyce, Vice President of Government and Regulatory Affairs for the Texas Oil and Gas Association.
Always great to be on Texoga Talks. It's my favorite time of the week.
Well, it's fun to get to discuss how important it is to just raise the overall energy IQ for Texans about oil and gas and the vital role that it plays for our daily lives, I think.
You know, I like that term, energy IQ. Did you trademark that yet?
I have never had an original idea in my life, unfortunately. I think I last heard that from Mike Howard with Howard Energy Partners. I've heard it before then, and so I just have been reminded of it. And so I wish I could. I want to patent something before I die. I did write a book. It's available for, like, I think Amazon will pay you to take it off their warehouse right now. But anyway, we're glad to be talking about oil and natural gas. In today's episode, Shana, we've talked a little bit about production in the Midland Basin, Permian Basin, how important that is to our state. Today, I thought it'd be fun to go over to the Coastal Bend region of Texas that plays such a vitally important role in our state's economy. And, you know, we need to just take a deep dive in the Coastal Bend.
You know, when you think about the Coastal Bend, I think you think of beaches, taking your family to the beach. For me, I know growing up, we went to Mustang Island, and I take my kids down to Port Aransas as well. And so I think that's what you think about. But I know that last time I was there, we actually saw some LNG ships waiting to get into the port.
And it's exciting that we can have oil and natural gas. We can be shipping commodities globally, bringing those dollars back here at home. And we also have fishing and beaching and recreational activities, and they can all mutually coexist. And Corpus Christi is a great example of that.
I couldn't agree more.
And Shana, we're very fortunate today to have a special guest with us. Our guest is the state representative for House District 32. He is chairman of the Texas House of Representatives Committee on State Affairs. I've had the privilege of knowing Todd Hunter for a number of years. Chairman Hunter, thank you for joining us today. We're so glad you're here.
It's great to be on a program with two Todds.
This is the Toddcast today. That's what we...
Maybe we should call it the Todd Oil and Gas Associate. T for Todd. No, we'll keep it with Texas.
We'll keep it with Texas. We're so glad that you're joining us. We're talking about the Coastal Bend today, and we talked a little bit about the Permian Basin here recently, and so we thought it would be very important to discuss, Shana, and let our listeners know about the Coastal Bend.
Yes. So, Chairman, could you explain to our listeners, maybe give us an audio podcast postcard for our listeners who may have not been to the Coastal Bend recently? What are you seeing? How would you describe it? What's your favorite part of the Coastal Bend?
So for everybody listening, you know, it's kind of interesting because from Texas Oil and Gas, now Texas are really connected from one area to the other. You mentioned Permian Basin, you know, Midland to Corpus Christi now. We have a big connection because of the pipelines. Right. And so you're having oil and gas, all the industry connected. But the coastal zone is very, very big. It's a big supporter of the oil and gas industry. And I got involved before Todd Staples was born in 1988. And my family, you know, has always been involved in banking and oil and gas. And from the coastal history, there's 14 Texas counties. And the issue of, let's take my region, I'm called the Mid-Coast, Aransas County, Calhoun County, Nueces County, San Patricio County, Clayburgh County, Refugio County. Those zones I've represented. But we have the beach. We have a lot of oil and gas activity. We have a lot of oil and gas activity owners who not only operate in the coast, but they operate throughout Texas. We also have a large port. So oil, gas, chemical manufacturing is seen not daily, but hourly. And, you know, a lot of people, both of you know, come to the coast because of travel tourism, you know, Port Aransas, Padre Island. They are really discovered. But what's interesting that most people don't know, and I know the oil and gas industry knows, if you can get on a fairly high level platform in Port Aransas, it almost looks like I-35 coming into the Port of Corpus Christi with these containers, these ships. You are looking at a vein arteries of oil and gas coming into Texas and then going right back out. And I've seen it. It's an interesting spectacle, but it shows you from your own eyeballs exactly the importance of the oil and gas industry in Texas, nation, and world.
I think everyone listening, Mr. Chairman, should come take a look at that, what you just described, because you mentioned pipelines, that's infrastructure, and you mentioned the port of Corpus Christi, which I think it's hard to grasp just how important the port of Corpus Christi is in terms of moving product from Texas to, you know, our allies all across the globe. And so let's dig into the port of Corpus Christi just a little bit more. What kind of an economic engine is the port of Corpus Christi? What are some dollars or figures that come to your mind?
Well, first of all, for those that are not used to ports or they're not used to the coastline, I mean, you've got some great ports up and down Texas. I mean, Texas is kind of the plug-in for the oil and gas industry, the shipping industry, up and down the coast. And you get to see ships. You get to see, as you know, Todd, today the size of the ships are much greater. And so you're seeing a lot of ports like Port of Corpus Christi having to reconfigure to be able to bring in the depth of these ships. But what I can tell you is the Port of Corpus Christi, and here's some statistics. It's the largest port in the United States in total revenue tonnage. It has been the top-ranked port nationally for oil exports for the 7 of the last 9 years. It's a major crude oil refinery club, a hub. And, you know, the deal is what everybody forgets is LNG. And it is a major LNG exporter. So it's a great postcard visual of live prime time movement in and out of LNG, crude oil. It really shows you the activity. And we're hooked in with West Texas. And so it's kind of like we're all connected in the same body.
And I think that's an important theme about being connected, because if we try to divide and conquer, we all get defeated. If we can work together, we can have an asset like the Port of Corpus Christi with a $40 billion economic impact, over 200 different facilities working in concert, using this asset to import and export products around the globe. And I know, Shana, you're interested in this. Not only is the Port of Corpus Christi, but there's other ports as well, right?
Yeah, so just to give some context, Texas has 20 seaports in the Coastal Bend region, and that includes the Port of Corpus Christi. But if you go up the coast, you also have the Port of Victoria, the Port of Calhoun, the Port of West Calhoun, the Port of Mansfield. And south of that, you have Port of Harlingen, Port Isabel, and Port of Brownsville. So we have a plethora of ports in Texas that are constantly moving the products that we use every day.
I think your analogy, Mr. Chairman, about the looks like I-35 is a really good one.
But
it's because these are transportation. Just like our roads, just like our highways, our waterways, our transportation corridors, and the Port of Corpus Christi handles a variety of commodities. I know my days as Texas Agriculture Commissioner, I saw firsthand your district and the Coastal Bend region is prolific not only in oil and gas, but in agriculture. I saw a quote from the Port of Corpus Christi CEO, Kent Britton, the other day, who said, currently, the Port of Corpus Christi crude oil export gateway ranks number one in the United States and number three in the world. That adds to what your conversation was, Mr. Chairman, about the importance of Corpus Christi.
Well, the other thing I want everybody listening is, we've only begun, Todd. As you know, the governor's a great friend to Coastal Bend, and Speaker of the House, Dave Phelan, his district is very similar to mine in the economic structure. And of course, the lieutenant governor has also been very proactive. All three of them have been proactive in this region. Now, what I want you to know, 2026 is the basic timeline for the opening of the new Harbor Bridge. Anybody that's been to my area, there's a bridge that connects Portland, Texas, San Patricio County to Corpus Christi, Nueces County. When 2026 comes, hoping everything's on track, it's like the unveiling of a portrait. That current bridge will fit under the new bridge. You will have one of the largest bridges in the world here. And think of the size of the oil and gas, LNG ships that now, who service internationally, can come into Texas. So we're opening a new lifeline. We're also going to see the unveiling. I can tell you right now, each week I'm contacted by hydrogen companies, oil and gas companies, refining companies, manufacturing, chemical, oil and gas. Soon as that unveiling, get ready, because you are going to see a hotbed of the Texas miracle economics coming into Texas.
Well, you painted an excellent picture of how managing local infrastructure on this new Harbor Bridge that you championed and help with the other leaders that you mentioned to make certain that that becomes a reality to allow for continued exports. And Shana, I know Corpus is a big exporter of crude oil. And what are some numbers that's going out of the port?
Yeah, so just to illustrate this point, during the first half of 2023, more than half of the 4 million barrels of crude oil that are exported daily from the U.S. passed through the port of Corpus Christi.
So
that's incredible.
Not only we have oil going out of port of Corpus Christi, Todd Hunter just mentioned LNG, and Chairman Hunter, I remember, I don't remember what year it was. You may know the year. You and I were both at the Cheniere facility where the first LNG shipment occurred. What year was that? That was a big gathering.
That was 18, and that was when Rick Perry, the governor, had pure black hair.
It's been a little water under the bridge since that time.
You know, right? I think it was you and I. I think it was 2018 when we did that. But I want to tell you, and I do want to stress this, our governor, Abbott to Perry, have really been excellent on the promotion of Texas economics. And both of them have been big supporters of our area, along with the speaker and the lieutenant governor. For example, the speaker's district's very similar to mine. He's having an explosion of economics in his area. And all three of them have been promoting Texas oil and gas. And let's just remember, it's Texas oil and gas. And that's the lifeline for everybody to turn on, operate, be mobile. And that's the way it is. And we should be proud of it. That's our history.
We should be proud of it. It creates literally hundreds of thousands of jobs here in the Lone Star State, jobs in the Coastal Bend region, jobs in my home area of East Texas are benefiting greatly. And I'll tell you, there's probably not a week that doesn't go by, Mr. Chairman, that we have calls as well. We get calls from other countries that want to know how to get in contact, how to to get access to LNG, access to crude oil. They want to know how to develop a fair regulatory environment. And so our governor, Abbott, and Governor Perry both did a great job on that. And you're right, the entire coast from Dade Phelan's district all the way down to Brownsville is experiencing tremendous growth because the world has an insatiable appetite for a reliable partner for our products.
Yes, and I know that two projects are under construction in the Port Arthur area. We have Golden Pass LNG and Port Arthur LNG, as well as Rio Grande and LNG that's being built down in Brownsville. So we continue to grow and boom in this LNG export business.
And let me add this. Look, Texas oil and gas is positive. It provides economics. It provides jobs. And it provides a way of living. That's our history. And we need to promote it. It's a great partnership. And the only reason we got surplus is due to your industry. And we need to be proud of it. We need to do everything we can to help. And I wanted to say the leadership of Texas, they've been constantly on that. So we've got a good team effort to work with the oil and gas development economics. And Texas, all we have to say is look at the budget. We got a surplus.
Yeah, you faced last session with a $32 billion surplus when California was facing a $20 billion deficit. And it's because we are pro-business. We're not afraid to say, we want your jobs. We want your capital. We want it here in the Lone Star State. We recognize infrastructure is a key. The deepening of the ports is something that you mentioned that has enabled bigger ships to come in to make certain that Texas is a reliable partner. And I want to touch, while oil and gas is very important, there are other commodities that are shipped as well, cotton and cattle and a variety of other elements. We're all beneficiaries when we have these types of assets.
So I think we also want to talk a little bit about the refineries down on our Texas coast. We have lots of refineries in your area, Chairman Hunter. And so what are some of the companies in the Coastal Bend that operate with refineries and pipelines to help keep moving those products?
Well, just like Todd said, you know, there's a lot of connection up and down the 14 counties. And we have a lot of plants and refineries. Just so everybody knows, I deal with them weekly. And positive, I communicate with them. And we have a lot of good connections from Austin to the coastal zone. And it's just constant. In fact, Todd, you remember that during a certain time, we would have a Friday call with oil and gas, manufacturing, chemical, and the plants and refineries. Port industries, the port, everybody, because everybody was plugging in, making sure they were communicating and everybody was on the same page. We've got, just to give you a sample, we have Valero. They've been a great, great community partner. We've got Citgo, great, great community partner. We got Flint Hills, Coke Industries. I'm hoping Bill Oswald woke up in time to hear this program. We had to give him a pitch. But, you know, the deal is, think about this. The information I've got that you're aware of, 1,400 direct local refinery jobs. That's over $200 million in direct wages. Over 4,000 direct local jobs in the oil and gas industry with $460 million in direct wages. And we all know those are past data. That's not even current data. So that's a little bit about the, and I deal with a bunch of the refineries and the plants. You know, we have Cheniere. Hopefully Matt Barr is also up by 10 a.m. Give him a plug. But the bottom line is we have all these companies that work here. We have a good relationship. And the reason I threw out two names, because, you know, Julie Klumpin and Darcy helped us out at the Valero. I want everybody to know, I know the people. And we're very, very close. you know, I'll tell you an interesting deal is recently I've been seeing a lot of the plant and refinery groups who've evolved and seen a lot of the families. And so I just want everybody to know you have a history on the coast in South Texas of the plants, the refineries. Some of them developed through the years here. A lot of people don't realize that. But those are some of the groups. There's a big time list that we have. And I deal with them all the time. I'm over in San Patricio. My district, as everybody knows, today is Aransas County. That's Rockport, Fulton, Lamar Peninsula area, Holiday Beach Zone, beautiful area. I also have the Nueces Oceanside. That's Port Aransas, Padre Island, Flower Bluff, South Side, all the way to Chapman Ranch, Corpus Christi. But I've represented Jackson County. I've represented Calhoun County that has the ports. I've represented Refugio County, and I also represented San Patricio County and Clayburgh County south of us. They're almost all with us. Bottom line, that coastline is going to be very, very important, but also wanting to work as a team with the oil and gas industry.
Well, for our listeners today, you just heard Chairman Hunter identify 24 communities or more. And it's the reason that it makes him such an effective representative, Shane, is because he knows his area. He knows his people. He did put together weekly conference calls. Then we had more calls than that, but every week it was a time set where we all got together. And this was, I think, during the COVID era where everyone was at risk. Their future was literally on standstill because of the slowdown in economic activity. And Chairman Hunter's work help to protect those jobs that he just mentioned, protect those payrolls. In fact, the whole Corpus Ship Channel supports over 14,000 direct jobs. We've got full-time contractors. There's over $1 billion in total wages. And these companies, we talk with them, and they're investing $20 million and, you know, 20,000 volunteer hours in a given year to local efforts to help continue to grow your district, Mr. Chairman, and to continue to promote this important region.
And I want to add, because, you know, I know you all work with the other associations, but you got also LyondellBasell, Chemours, Gulf Coast Growth Ventures. I know all of them. In fact, Paul over at Gulf Coast, he and I went to the same college. It'd be good if we'd start winning some games, but I've got somebody to commiserate.
And, you know, before we're going to take a quick break, Mr. Chairman, but I do want to add that I love that you're talking about the people of your district, because when I know when I've been on refinery tours before, especially, and I just feel it, especially in refineries, but there's such a sense of community for the people that work there, that want to work there, that want to be a part of the community, and they love working there. And so I think you really highlighted that for us. But if you'll stay with us, we'll be right back after this quick break. This episode of Texoga Talks is brought to you by Devon Energy, Repsol, and Targa Resources.
Welcome back. We're visiting today with the chairman of the Texas House of Representatives Committee on State Affairs, State Representative Todd Hunter. We've had a great discussion. And before we let you go for the day, Mr. Chairman, I had two more items, Shana, that I wanted to get in. And one of them is just LNG. Mr. Chairman, as you know, President Biden's administration has put a pause on export permits for LNG. You have a first row seat to LNG. And so I want to get your thoughts on that executive order there.
You put politics aside. Why in the world would anybody put a halt on growth? I mean, LNG is one of the new items, not in Texas, worldwide. This is an example where folks need to talk to Texans. We know what is happening. I always get a kick out of policy. Everybody talks to everybody but the people who are involved. And so, no, I mean, the LNG, we need to be promoting it. We need to be supporting it. I won't make a political communication. I know LNG is important, the oil and gas. But the biggest thing about LNG is it sends a message that if you support it, other type products will come, other type innovation will come, other type technology come. You don't want to send the message that you're a nice flowing vein and you stop the blood flow. Right. That doesn't do anybody any good. Right. Pro-economics, pro-LNG, pro-oil and gas.
And having that message of certainty is what elicits those other jobs and other activity. Shane, I think you checked in with Dr. Dean Foreman, our chief economist, about just the economic impact of LNG.
You know, it's incredible. I know that his latest number said that LNG exports directly support 18,000 jobs through the value chain and nearly 54,000 jobs total, direct and indirect, on LNG. And, you know, Texas LNG exports to Europe 6.8 billion cubic feet per day in 2023. And so it's more than double that than from 2021. And so we've seen a record high in October of 2023. If you recall from our earlier episode where we take a deep dive into the numbers of our economic rollout, October 2023 was a very big month for Texas.
Well, all the things that you've been talking about, Chairman Hunter, all the things Shane is talking about, is really talking about economic development. I mean, this LNG export pause or moratorium threatens $200 billion worth of investment. It threatens 9,000 jobs. One of the things that you have been so consistent about, Chairman Hunter, is promoting economic development in the state of Texas, wanting that economic development to occur in Texas and your district, not in competing states and competing countries. And so I applaud you for your work. And you had a little effort this last session to make certain that Texas can be competitive.
Right. You know, we worked with the governor, lieutenant governor, the speaker of the House, Dade Phelan, on the Texas Economic Development Act. And all it basically is a new law. It's not the old set of laws. It's a new law to keep Texas competitive. I want Texas to keep winning those awards. And where does it land? It generally lands with an oil and gas connected company. And that's what Texas is known for. But it's always easy to backseat drive when you're making money. It isn't easy to backseat drive when you don't have the money. And right now, we are doing well, and we're working with private business, and Texas is moving. And that's why they call it the Texas miracle. And the economics are coming. And follow my prediction. 2026, if it keeps on schedule, you'll see an unveiling of economic development in the entire South Texas region and coast of Texas, and you're going to see the hotspot of the world.
Well, what you have just articulated is what our goal is in Texas: continue to be the leader, continue to be the winner. That takes infrastructure, that takes new electricity generation that's very important to you, that takes new transmission and distribution lines to be built, makes new roads to be built. And so I'm excited about the future. I know there's opportunity so that our kids and grandkids can grow up here and have jobs and not have to relocate to other parts of the country or other parts of the world. Mr. Chairman, we thank you for being with us today. Your region is so important that Texoga has Matt Garcia, our local representative in your area, because of just how important the Coastal Bend region is. And we appreciate the job that Matt is doing. I hope you see him hard at work when you're out.
I do. I see him with a mustache and not a mustache. So I can tell you, no, Matt does a great job, works with our office. And it's good to have an oil and gas presence here because of all the economic activity.
Well, you're a champion. We appreciate your time today, and we hope to see you soon in the Coastal Bend.
You got it.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman, for joining us. Please stay tuned. We're coming up with the Foreman's Four with Chief Economist Dr. Dean Foreman right after this break.
Hi, I'm Neil Carlton, President of the Texoga Insurance Agency. The Texoga Insurance Agency is pleased to sponsor today's episode of the Texoga Talks podcast. Texoga members have access to the Texoga Safety Group with Texas Mutual and get a premium discount of 12.4%, as well as the possibility to earn two dividends. Participants also have access to unique safety tools to keep their team safe and on the job. Visit texogainsurance.com for more information.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. We have had Dr. Dean Foreman joining us here to give us his Foreman's Four.
Dr. Foreman, you got a coat and tie on. You're showing us up here today in a big way. I don't know. Well, although Shana's got a coat on too, so maybe it's
looking
me.
Spiffy today.
Okay, I'll get the memo maybe next episode. You've got four important topics that I think Texans need to hear about. The first one that you've identified is just the state of the Texas economy. What's your take? What's Foreman's take on this?
Well, thing one for Texas and the United States is, you know, let's take credit for what we said coming into the year, is that there was a lot of debt overhang, both at the corporate level and the consumer level, also the federal level. And this has an eroding effect on growth that we'd expected to be solid, but we also said we'd expect sticky price inflation. So we're seeing this where that price inflation has given the Federal Reserve pause in cutting interest rates. We kind of held the line there. And as a result of it, we're seeing growth apparent now in housing starts, existing home sales start to slow a bit. So the good news out of that is that you should expect some cuts from the Fed at some point. The bad news is we're hitting that soft patch as we expected.
So you think we may see some slowdown from the higher rates for mortgages and things like that, and that'll be the impetus for the feds to take action later on, most likely.
It really is. In the headlines the last couple of weeks, we've seen the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate exceed 7% now nationwide. We've also seen where on the corporate side, the premium for lower credit quality among corporate debt is now over 8.5%. That's the highest since December.
Well, your second topic is global oil market fundamentals. Any of those things we just discussed impacting these oil market fundamentals?
Exactly. You got it. So as you'd expect, on an aggregate level, if you're seeing the economy slow a bit, that's showing up in some softer fundamentals in terms of consumption, international pull for U.S. exports. It's pulled back just a bit. So it's not a step change, but it's enough where it's perceptible. And quietly, the thing that's important is that the production trends have been resoundingly solid. So over 13 million barrels per day of production nationwide in the U.S., about 5.5 per our estimates for Texas. With that continuing, it's remarkable. The Permian Basin, for example, by EIA, Energy Information Administration estimates, over 23% productivity gains year on year. So rig productivity, what I get for running a rig for a month, over 23% increase year on year as of March. Wow. So that's phenomenal. It says that the technology and the process innovation, all of that is continuing to have a really positive effect for the industry.
Before we go to the next topic, that productivity gain is just remarkable.
It truly is.
And if you think about all the global unrest today, and we've known about Russia and Ukraine, we know Hamas has attacked Israel, but we've also seen Israel and Iran have some serious back and forth. In years past, Dr. Foreman, it seems to me that oil prices would be over $100 a barrel, but I'm just wondering how big a role is the United States playing in keeping these prices maybe a little bit less than what they would be based on what we know is going on globally. Is that fair to say that the United States and Texas is one of the reasons we're not seeing this range of volatility we might have seen in the past?
Absolutely. I would say that Texas and the United States have been the cushion for global oil markets. And you see it apparent that we've got low $80 per barrel oil despite all of the uncertainties.
Well, you heard it here. The reason Texas, United States, not that we like to brag on this show any at all about the great state. Okay, we've covered state of the economy. We've covered global oil market fundamentals. Consumers are big beneficiaries. Talk a little bit about natural gas markets and how this is impacting consumers.
So this is a big win. We went through the first quarter from a consumer standpoint with the lowest inflation adjusted or real natural gas prices on record in all the data since the 1990s. So this is historically low prices, despite the fact that the exports of natural gas have continued to be near record highs. So that disconnect has really been important. Now, there is another nuance to this, and that's that the exports globally have been off. And you would think that with this high oil production, you got a lot of associated gas coming with that, mm-hmm. plus dedicated gas drilling that's held up pretty well here in Texas. We've continued to produce at strong levels. That's been, with the strong productivity, a real win for consumers.
I think it's very important you pointed out that prices have been low, even though exports have been bigger than they've ever been, indicating that policies that support domestic production consumers benefit. It just underlines that statement That's good news. Dr. Foreman? Oh, Shane.
Sorry. Yes. I had a quick question. So do you think why were natural gas prices so low for consumers? Was that just, I think you say here in some of your notes, it was a relatively warm winter for a lot of us. I think some of us were expecting, I guess the groundhog was right this year. I think you said spring was freeing early. So is that part of the reason? Are there any other reasons why you would have a lower price for consumers?
It's the combination. And number one is the fact that seasonally lower than expected, not just here, but in Northern Asia, in Europe, really a global phenomenon. And that resulted in almost a billion cubic feet per day of less exports year on year for comparing March to March. So that means that if the supply chain was really planning to produce all of this, a lot of this gas was placed domestically in the interim. It's a temporary effect. It's a seasonal effect, but it has been downward pressure on prices as a result. And these strong productivity trends really do show up in resounding strength. And we've seen in places like West Texas, the Waha hub, where you have pipeline constraints, actually negative prices sitting in the winter. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And that's not great for producers, but with the appropriate planning, these things can be sorted out over the longer term.
Great, great point. Great Thank question you. Here. Dr. Foreman, our previous guest on this show today was Todd Hunter, the chairman of the State Affairs Committee for the Texas House of Representatives. Electricity goes through his committee as a policy. It goes through Chairman Schwartz in the Texas Senate. But let's talk a little bit about Texas electricity prices. Everyone is concerned about the grid. We've seen a lot of headlines. There's been a lot of efforts to have a greater amount of reliability. But what about prices? That's important too.
So this is really important. And there's not a lot of transparency and measurement of this, especially at the state level. But if we dig into these obscure data that the Energy Information Administration has, we can see for January of this year compared with January 2 years ago, across the board for every customer class, that the prices are up roughly 15% in Texas. And we can also compare to other states. And what's interesting is that the neighboring states of Louisiana and New Mexico have seen their prices go down. Ours up, theirs down.
And 15% is no small increase either year over year. So ours have gone up and some of our competitors have gone down.
Neighboring states, competitors for the next industrial plant that might come. And on top of this, we should note that Texas is the number one consumer in the nation of electricity. Our industry, we're the number one in industrial, commercial, and residential. And the next closest states, when we're looking at California and Florida, need roughly half as much. So it's twice as important, at least for Texas, and absolutely critical to our value chain when we're, you know, it's our jobs, our wages, everything in the economy.
So I'm thinking about, when I say competitors, you made a good point to clarify, we're competing for job locations, new plants. Right. Louisiana, it often competes with Texas, New Mexico. So we've got Louisiana to the east, New Mexico to the west. Can you give us anything specific about those two states and how our electricity prices compare?
So right now for industrial, we're somewhat higher, and that's of concern. 2 years ago on the commercial side, if you're just thinking about kind of small and medium-sized business, commercial, we had almost 50% lower prices in Texas than we did in Louisiana. 47 actually, percent, almost 50,
lower.
Right?
Wow.
But now, 2 years later, as theirs have gone down and ours have gone up, they're within 5% of one another. So this competitive advantage that we've had is eroded relative to the neighboring states.
So Louisiana and New Mexico are within 5% of one another. What are those rates compared to Texas? What percentage higher are they from us?
Well, that 5% is Louisiana to Texas, where we had a 50% advantage and now it's only 5. So basically a wash at that point.
Okay.
And you would think that maybe there was some customer class rebalancing going on. You know, like, okay, we'll protect one customer class, others go up. And New Mexico and Louisiana both have regulated environments, so they can make these choices relatively easier than you can in Texas, where it's an energy-only competitive market. What's interesting here is that they've won across the board. So they're getting, in Louisiana, for example, lower prices for all the customer classes while we're seeing it go up. And on the industrial and commercial side, we still have prices in Texas that are well below the nationwide average, but that's not the right benchmark. We have to compare to the neighboring states. We have to compare what's competitive for our industry.
That's a great point. We're competing with southern coastal states a lot of times. We know prices are higher in New York and in California. We don't want to let that be the standard bearer to judge us by. We want to judge it by the areas where businesses would be locating.
And I also want to say, you know, electricity prices comes into that, but so does permitting and the regulatory environment that are that companies that want to locate to Texas have to think about. And so they're going to start looking at this data like this when you compare also to your that regulatory environment.
So, sounds like permitting might be a great topic to for future Texoga
Talk. I think so. It's there's kind of excellent. Some things bubbling up with that. So yeah, I think that's right.
Dr. Foreman, you've got given some tremendously valuable insight to our listeners today, and we thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you. Well, thanks for joining us on another episode of Texoga Talks. If you'd like more information about Texoga or anything that we've discussed today, you can visit our website at texoga.org to learn more. I'll also encourage you to follow us on our social media channels. We've got Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube. Of course, as you know, Dr. Foreman is a LinkedIn influencer, so definitely follow him. And lastly, just encourage you to subscribe and listen to all of our episodes.
We want to hear from you. Let us know your ideas and your thoughts. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Texoga Talks, where energy meets insight.
The views expressed on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed to be the views of any particular Texoga member or company. The purpose of this podcast is to engage in candid conversations about energy needs, energy security, and the future of energy.